It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dana Perino, along with Judge Jeanine Pirro, Jessica Tarlov, Jesse Waters, and Greg Gutfeld. It's 5 o'clock in New York City. This is The 5. President Biden getting his first challenge from the incoming GOP-controlled House. Go visit the border. Republicans ready to get tough on the president's immigration policies. They'll have a lot on their plate. Every month, there is a new record when it comes to the number of people illegally crossing. And it is expected to get worse once the Trump-era Title 42 ends in December, which may force the administration to take drastic measures. GOP leader Kevin McCarthy threatening to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas over the crisis. He is inviting the commander-in-chief to witness it firsthand.
I invited the president to go to the border with me. I explained to the president, he asked me about the border, so I told him about my current trip.
Our very own Peter Ducey asking if the White House has checked the mailbox for Biden's invitation.
We know the president's never been down to the border. The possible next speaker says that he wants him to go with him. So is he going to?
So, look, he's been there. He's been to the border. And since he took office.
When did he go to the border?
Since he took office, the President Biden has been taking action to fix our immigration system and secure our border. We're not seeing that from Republicans. We're not seeing a willingness to work with us on fixing a situation that's been around for decades now. Instead, they're doing political stunts.
It's not just concerns down at the border. The crisis could compromise airline safety because an air marshal warning about another 9/11.
Sir, please replace the air marshals on the border. Stop taking them out of the skies and let us do the job that we were trained to do. We have been decimated. We have been depleted. We're on less than 1% flights. These ground-based duties that they're pulling us out of the sky to go to the border are just demolishing our chances at stopping another 9/11.
Jesse, why does the administration continue to go back to things that are demonstrably proven untrue? The president has not been to the border. He one time went to a campaign event. It was a drive-by. We know this. This has been out there. Why do they keep doing that?
You'll have to ask the French binder reader that question. I'm not in her head, and neither do I want to be, Dana. He's never going to the border with McCarthy, just like I'm never going to a concert with Greg. Hmm? Does it matter how many times he asks, I'm not going?
I've never asked.
You have?
No. And I would not be seen in public with you.
Well, that's how Biden feels about McCarthy. You don't want to elevate McCarthy also and say, okay, Kevin, let's go down to the border and see where I've failed. The images, too, of President Biden with a younger and thinner Kevin McCarthy pointing at the failure with flanked by Border Patrol agents who Joe Biden called whippers. Isn't a good look for Joe. It's not a good look for his base. His base doesn't want to see that. And to visit the problem, you're kind of acknowledging the problem. But most leaders need to lay eyes on a crisis. It's like if your basement floods, you go downstairs and you look at the flood. Yeah. You don't tell your wife you're now basement czar and pawn it off to her. So if AOC and Chuck Schumer say, well, we got to have open borders because we need baby makers to come here. And on the other hand, you have Bill Clinton and Barack Obama and I believe Nancy Pelosi saying, you know what, we actually kind of have to secure the border a little bit. Joe Biden's going to have to choose. And there is a way to thread the needle. You can have a strong border and you can have a humane and rational asylum policy. I don't know why that's so hard. And I don't think they're going to get together and do anything because Chuck Schumer came in even before the election was finished and said, mass amnesty for 10 million illegals. And that just poisons the whole debate.
For weeks, well, months leading up to the election, Greg, the White House and Mayorkas at the Homeland Security Department, they always said the border is secure. The border is secure. They said it declaratively. And now you actually see Axios with a scoop last night that the White House is actually thinking about a complete overhaul of their immigration policy. Why would they do that?
I don't know how they can do that, because to overhaul something, there has to be a something. And I don't think I've ever heard an articulation of something. from the administration. It would be kind of cool to hear Biden articulate a policy or a philosophy regarding the border, just the border itself. Should it be strong? How do you define strong? How are you maintaining its strength? But we've never really heard that. Instead, we're in this mirrorverse, right? A few years ago, it was AOC at the border weeping, and we called that a stunt. And now you got McCarthy saying we're going to the border, and then that's called a stunt. That's the mirrorverse. That's when one party reacts to the other exactly how the other party would react. I am tempted to do a Jesse-style relationship analogy,
okay. But
I realize that it doesn't really work for him. It often gets him into trouble. But I'm going to go ahead anyway. You know, the Republicans and Democrats, it's a troubled marriage, and the Republicans are the henpecked husband, right? Republicans are always on the defensive when it comes to compassion. They always have to explain to the Democrats how much they care. But it's never the reverse, right? Dems never have to prove to the Republicans that they care, even though their policies, whether it's the border, the economy, or crime, hurts way more people than it helps. This is a one-sided marriage, and the husband's always in the doghouse, and he's kept there as a strategy by the Democrats.
I approve of that analogy.
Do you? Yep. Yes, I was trying to do
I even like it. The Republicans are going to sleep on the couch.
Yes, exactly.
That's going to happen.
Judge, does that happen anymore? Do people still sleep on couches?
Not my husband.
The husband?
Yeah. Judge, what about the air marshals being pulled from their duty to go to the border?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that's very interesting. And apparently something like 1% of the air marshals are now on airplanes doing what they're supposed to be doing. But, you know, but it's similar to when you took the Border Patrol off of really monitoring the borders so that they could put, you know, diapers on babies and so that they could be babysitters themselves. Look, what's going on with this Biden administration is crazy. And, you know, Greg, when you said how there is an articulation, there has to be an articulation of something. Well, I'm telling you, Mayorkas will disagree with you because Mayorkas says he intends to use the same plan that he used in April. Except I looked up his April plan. I couldn't find a plan. So, you know, it's all about smoke and mirrors right now. The dangers now are to Americans who will be flying 1% now of the airplanes. And believe me, the air marshals know very well where the flights are, where there could be a problem. And to take 99% of the air marshals and put them at the border for people who are violating our laws and illegally entering with no monitoring of who they are is outrageous. It is, again, putting the American citizen in, you know, in this second class seat. But I got to tell you what's interesting about all of this is that there are certain people now who think that it is time to change the policies at the border. And they're now looking at the Trump policies. So whether it's Department of Homeland Security and I think National Security Council and Justice, they're now talking about barring asylum for single adults illegally crossing who have not first applied for legal pathway or making sure that some of them are in a refugee resettlement before they actually access asylum at our border. What took them so long? Do they have enough people to vote Democrat now so they don't have to worry?
Yeah. What is driving the Biden administration to make this change or to suggest that they're going to have to make a change?
Well, I think that there's been a huge surge in the number of Democrats speaking out against it. And part of that is, even though it was a stunt, to Greg's point that everyone just, you know, takes their turn. I mean, stunts. We now have undocumented migrants being shipped to Northeastern cities, right? The Martha's Vineyard thing obviously attracted a ton of attention. It's happening in Chicago. Mayor Adams here has said that he wants to take people, but he needs federal government help to be able to house them. Muriel Bowser in D.C. is saying it's a national security threat. You can't be doing this. So now you have high-profile Democrats talking about the same things that Republicans have been talking about. And I think that the Biden administration has taken note of that. It's so hard, and this happens on both sides, for people to just admit, to your point, Jesse, that we kind of want the same thing, right? There are little differences in the level of asylum that they would allow, that Republicans would want versus Democrats, how you want the legal system to operate. But generally speaking, when you look at the surveys, everybody, 70% plus wants a pathway to citizenship for people who are coming here or undocumented. They want them to be able to have their day in court. And the Mayorkas 4-point plan from April, it did exist. There were 4 points. I remember two of them, at least, which is said we need more tents, basically housing for them down there, and to send more judges. That's not enough to solve this problem. And there are so many Democrats on record throughout the last couple of decades talking about building a physical barrier. Hillary Clinton was one of them. It came up in the 2016 election over and over after Donald Trump said, you know, they're bad hombres and, you know, they're the worst people. And then lo and behold, it's not a full wall, but there are Democrats, Biden, Hillary, Bill Clinton, et cetera, who have been supportive of that. So I think that there is a path forward if people will agree about the fact that Democrats and Republicans like the illegal labor. And that's what this really comes down to. I think that it will never be solved unless people can get past that.
Well, and all of those issues will never be actually solved unless the border is secure. So that's going to have
exactly
to be the
right.
First.
And you wouldn't need tents or judges, additional judges, if the border were secure.
Yeah. Well, we have not solved a thing, but we have talked about it. And we are going to move on. Coming up, Apple accused of aiding and abetting China as a communist regime cracks down on a wave of anti-lockdown protests.
I got some rust on my Chevy, but it's ready.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Communist China trying to crush anti-lockdown protesters and getting a little help from Apple. The big tech giant blocked China's users from accessing its critical AirDrop feature earlier this month. It would have made it easier for protesters to share important info and bypass Beijing's online censorship. Chinese police have reportedly been stopping people and checking their phones for foreign apps. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is ripping Apple for colluding with China.
You have people in China that are really engaged in a noble effort to protest, which is basically Leninist rule. So what is Apple doing with that? They are limiting the AirDrop function of the protesters. So they are serving basically as a vassal to the Chinese Communist Party.
But Apple sucking up to China isn't new. CEO Tim Cook said this back in 2017.
China's done an unbelievable job of lifting people out of poverty. They've done an incredible job, I mean, far beyond what any country has done. We were talking about mid-90s to today. The biggest change is the number of people that have been pulled out of poverty, by far. And we should all applaud that.
So, Dana, you know, you listen to that and you kind of understand what he's trying to do. He believes that if you do business with a place like China, you'll be influencing them and shaping their culture. What does he have to show for this? How has Apple influenced China or helped China become, you know, westernized or just better at, you know, with their people?
Yeah, report at 11 when we'll talk to the Uyghurs and see how that's gone. Yeah. Like, not very good. About a fifth of the iPhones purchased in the world are purchased in China, in addition to not only being made there. This is basically China is waging digital warfare against its own citizens using technology developed in America.
Yeah.
And that it will continue. The other thing is it's also happening on Twitter. These Chinese bots were flooding all of these sites with porn, basically, to try to I read about it.
Yes.
In order to try to get people away from it. The other thing that the Chinese are doing is, let's just say you are walking to work or you're walking to the grocery store. You can get stopped at any time. The government has full access to your phone. They said, where were you last night? And you have to tell the truth because they know, because it's already in there. And also, you are controlled by a yellow, green, or red signal on your phone. It comes up. And the government controls that. Green means that you're not, you don't have COVID. You can go anywhere you want. Yellow means, well, you got to have some restrictions. Red means you can't go anywhere. And you could just be walking down the street and all of a sudden it turns red and you have no idea why. Well, why? Because you were at the protest last night and that's it. And they know that.
Wow. That's pretty crazy. So, Jessica, you're a communist. Do you think that Apple, this is just a coincidence that they turned this off? They claim that they're going to do this worldwide anyway. Or do you think this was like...
It's an interesting starting point,
right?
I guess, if this is to become an international trend. No, I think it's business. And we should be objective about how valuable China is as a trade partner for us. So they're the third largest market for our exports. We're the largest market for their imports. unless people are willing to actually, you know, put a shut up about it and switch using Vietnam or Thailand, and we get Nike out of there and you get Apple out of there, nothing is going to change from this. But what's interesting about what's going on in China is it is now such a departure from what's going on in the region. I had dinner on Monday night with a couple who live in Singapore.
Must be nice.
Sure, we had pizza.
Did they like the pizza?
It was delicious. We went to Arturo's.
Oh, wow.
So good, right?
Delicious.
Delicious.
Did you get the margarita?
Don't distract me. And they had been in complete lockdown, right? I mean, Singapore is basically a police state at this point, right? They had, when they had traveled, they had 21 days of quarantine stuck in a hotel where they had barricaded the doors. And I said, well, what's it like now? And they said, it's just like being here.
Mm.
Everyone who wants to wear a mask, because a lot of people in Asia just like to wear a mask generally, is doing it, but none of it is restricted. It's not because of COVID. You go in and out as you please. They don't ask anything at the airports, et cetera. And if Singapore is at that place and you look at the dystopia that's going on in China, you know that this is bigger than just something that can go away in a couple of days after, you know, we have a more strongly worded statement, which was what Tom Cotton was suggesting. I don't think anything anyone can say at this point will stop whatever Xi Jinping has planned there.
Speaking of strongly worded statements, Judge, DeSantis provided quite a contrast to the current White House, don't you think?
Yeah, and I thought it was really spot on. The truth is that DeSantis is recognizing that what's going on in the United States is that the White House is promising to monitor and closely look at Twitter because of something Elon Musk may do that they don't have any idea of, you know, whether or not there's a crime being committed, but they're on it. And yet at the same time, we've got an administration that can't even in anything other than a very timid reaction support the people who are in China, who are protesting this lockdown and the violation of human rights that Dana was talking about. They call you in and they know that they're going to arrest you if you lie about where you were, because they already know where you were. And the truth is that we've got an administration that loves China. Joe Biden said a rising China in 2011 was a good idea. 2013, Biden said China was a great nation. 2015, he said it was a significant asset. And in 2019, you know, China, the folks are not bad. You know, and that's great, okay, because Joe Biden and Hunter Biden did a lot of business, or Hunter Biden did anyway. And so while Elon Musk is being, you know, they're going to terrorize him for the First Amendment, we can't even put out a statement that even Trudeau in Canada came out and said, we're going to ensure that China knows full well we stand for human rights. And there is such a dichotomy between how we're looking at the First Amendment and then how we're supporting Tim Cook in basically taking down the ability of the Chinese people to be able to communicate. And there's one more thing about Elon Musk. They're going after Elon Musk. He provided the Starlink in Ukraine. I mean, this is a guy who's done a lot of good for humans, and I'm not so sure that the Chinese have.
All right. You know, Jesse, China is definitely not worried about appearing evil, right? I mean, they remind me a lot of you. It's armies in these hazmat suits, and they're behind plexiglass shields. There's nothing on Netflix that comes close to how creepy this looks.
It's a true horror story.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine what it's like to be Chinese and live under that type of condition. That was an excellent point. Think about this. Twitter is bad. Mm-hmm. And Apple's good? Apple has slaves building these phones. Apple's colluding with dictators. But Musk is the bad guy?
Yeah.
Come on. They're welding doors shut so people burn alive.
Yep.
And then Dana brought up the other day, they're blacking out the World Cup because no one's wearing masks and they don't want the country to see that the world has moved on.
So
my China hand tells me something very interesting. Yes, I have a China hand. You know what I mean. And he says, we're seeing the end of China.
I don't know what you mean.
It's a phrase in politics. I'll teach you after class. And you can either have one or two things. China disintegrates as a country right now because you're seeing protests in almost every major city, tens of thousands of people, or you see just a vicious crackdown. Yeah. One or the other is going to happen. And many companies have pulled out. A couple dead enders like Apple are still there, but they might have to have an evacuation plan, because if you're not out now, It might be too late. Think about this, though. There's no natural immunity in China, and their vaccines don't work, and their healthcare system's terrible. So this is a super spreader event. When you have masses of people congregating to protest, it's only going to get worse from here. And it's moved beyond protesting over COVID. It's now about the economy, freedom. So Xi, or however you say it, is in big trouble. He's lost face.
Can I just add something? Elon Musk, everyone's favorite crusader, produces vehicles in China. So the Shanghai Gigafactory has the capacity to produce 1.1 million electric vehicles per year because it was just upgraded because Elon Musk gets that it's valuable to do these things in China. And it is now Tesla's most productive manufacturing hub.
But is that
done
by
slaves? Yeah, but he's not hurting the Chinese people.
Is that
you say they're getting jobs from this.
You think that those people are earning $200K a year and have great...
Well, it's better than being locked down and burnt
alive. Are you all trading in your phones?
Slaves build this.
Turn it in, Jesse. Start using a Galaxy.
Slaves build this.
Come on.
What?
They don't build the Tesla product.
Well, that was an interesting turn to this segment. Next time Jessica says, I have one more thing, I'm just going to ignore her.
I mean, that's every day.
Up next, the media having an epiphany about soaring crime after telling folks it's not worth their time.
Baby's on fire.
If you have diabetes, then getting...
Well, it looks like the liberal media is finally waking up to America's crime crisis. Despite 2 years of downplaying it and accusing Republicans of trying to scare voters. The front page of the Washington Post with this headline, quote, "The stories of America's homicide crisis from cities across the U.S. But boy, what a contrast to all their previous coverage on crime, which they dismissed as a GOP strategy, political theatrics, and paranoia. And remember when Jen Psaki mocked the Five for being concerned about crime?
And then on Fox is Jeanine Pirro talking about soft on crime consequences. I mean, what does that even mean, right? So there's an alternate universe on some coverage. What's scary about it is a lot of people watch that.
Yeah.
I wonder if she changed her mind. You know what, Dana? The truth is that the Democrats tried very hard to downplay it. And it's not just the issue of the mainstream media now saying, oh, it's true. The facts are the same facts.
Right.
And so that has to be an admission that we tried to play with the numbers to make sure you didn't vote for the Republicans.
It's very similar to me to the story we did in our A block with all of a sudden after the election, the Biden administration says, oh, we better overhaul our border policy. And now you have the same, wow, actually, you know what? Crime is surging. We have to do something. And what's the root cause of it? Oh, we have soft on crime policies. We've got to fix that.
Yeah.
And that's a real disservice to the citizens of this country who pay taxes and need the government to do its job to keep them safe. But I also think that the liberals are upset because of what Elon Musk is doing to provide more transparency and freedom of speech on Twitter. But it would benefit them because they're so coddled on Twitter, and that's all they look at, that they think that everything is just peachy keen. There's no problems. And all of a sudden, they have an election where things are closer than they'd like, although they did better than we expected, that they now are saying, well, now we have a real problem. But the real problem, Jesse's going to have a segment on his show tonight about something that's just outrageous in Philadelphia. And every Monday morning, I come in on America's Newsroom. We read the headlines to our viewers about what's just happened in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Let's go over to Los Angeles. Actually, a crime surging in Miami and Denver. And we had Geraldo on. Problems in Cleveland. It's not just limited to New York City and Los Angeles. It is a real big problem. I'm glad that the Democrats are finally waking up to it, but I do think that they were coddled by the media and by Twitter, and that doesn't do them any favors.
You know, Greg, the truth is that, you know, people like the mainstream media and even Kathy Hochul, you know, the governor of New York. I mean, they are data deniers. They deny the facts for their own political agenda. And the sad part is that they are ignoring the people who are really hurt, people that they're supposed to represent.
They are disconnected from the problem. they have probably spent more time complaining about the prices of certain organic vegetables at Whole Foods than what's happening to people on the street.
Yeah, yeah. Who would do a story on Maine lobsters? Am I right?
That was a great story.
Yes, it was. But it only matters to them when an election is coming. And if you look at this, you mentioned one of these, the A Block immigration story. But remember, the laptop story went away and then it came back after an election. Yeah. The rail strike kind of just went away. Inflation. Then it came back. Inflation. So it's. I would like to say better late than never, but if it wasn't for the election ending, it would always be never, right? It would never, you know, they only are doing this. And I also think that there is a complicit kind of guilt. Maybe there's some guilt association to this. Like, these stories, these crime stories, they involve real villains and real victims. This isn't like virtue signaling woke crap where you misgendered somebody or used the wrong pronoun. People get raped. They get murdered. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about it, you have to remind yourself as a progressive in the media that you enabled the villains. You know, you talked about these issues, no cash bail. I'm not talking about you, Jessica. I'm just talking about the people that were for these bad issues that ended up creating this crime problem. That's probably more of a psychological reason why they're avoiding it, because they know they're partially responsible.
Well, you want to rationalize it, Jesse, but I'm not sure that they're interested in rationalizing it. I think it's just about winning. And they know it was an ace in the Republicans' hand.
Yeah, it was a big cover-up. And we learned a lot after the election. Manny Madoff was a fraud about the Senate for the left. And there were informants from the FBI in January 6th, and Trump was not selling nuclear documents from Mar-a-Lago. We definitely learned a lot. I don't like this guy, Philip Bump. I called him out a couple weeks ago. Yep. He wrote that article in the Post. Crime is surging in Fox News coverage. Mm-hmm. I invited him on my show to debate him, and he refused. And so I did a deep dive today, because now his own paper admitted that crime is a problem. You want to know what I found?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
He's 5'8".
Wait, what's wrong with that?
There's other things. He watches Real Housewives with his wife.
Oh, boy.
I'm not even getting into his personal life, but there's some suspicious things.
But he's 5'8", and he watches Real Housewives. Right.
He's a conspiracy theorist who falls for every single hoax. The guy's duped more than anybody, fell for the laptop, Russia, it's wrong on COVID. And he used to write for this outfit out in California, where he would publish maps of opponents' homes. So he's kind of like an Antifa journalist. And the fact that he's the national correspondent for The Washington Post, he's masquerading as, I wouldn't call him a Leninist, but you know what? I'm going to lift the ban on personal attacks. He's a slime ball.
Okay.
Ban not lifted anymore.
Jessica, even Bill Clinton, I mean, come on, Bill Clinton's a smart guy. He says that the Republicans before the election, they always find a new way to scare the living daylights out of swing voters about something, and he said crime was it. He knows better.
He was right, and he was right about the caravan when that was what it was in 2018. I got to say, that was the most insane description of Philip Bump I've ever
What
heard.
Did I say that was factually inaccurate?
I actually don't know how tall is
Five,
or what he likes on Bravo. Anyway,
he
and I know
he watched it with you his watched, wife. He
you watch stuff with Emma. You watch Southern Charm.
I don't watch Southern Charm.
I believe you do.
I watched a couple episodes.
So there's a confusion that happens between things that matter and things that decide an election. And that's really what went on here with crime. Crime did matter. It mattered to Democrats and Republicans and independents, but it did not swing the election. And Republicans thought that that was what was going to happen. And Democrats knew that there were other issues that were going to be more important. But we did lose 4 congressional seats in New York. And I believe that Lee Zeldin making crime such an issue here was a central factor in losing those seats.
You.
And
well,
we could have held the House.
Crime did move the election in terms of the House. Ahead, the Democrats' favorite crypto creep, Sam Bankman-Fried, giving his first on-camera interview. We're going to tell you what the disgraced mega donor just said. Understand why I got you on my mind.
When you get a chip in your windshield,
for a guy who's the target of multiple criminal investigations, disgraced former FTX CEO Sam Bankman-Fried seems to have a hard time keeping his mouth shut. The fallen crypto king blabbing to multiple media outlets and just did his first on-camera interview.
Clearly, I made a lot of mistakes or things I would give anything to be able to do over again. I didn't ever try to commit fraud on anyone. I I was excited about the prospects of FTX a month ago. I saw it as a thriving, growing business. I was shocked by what happened this month. And, you know, reconstructing it, were there things I wish I had done differently?
Okay. Wow. So, Jesse, if you had Sam Bankman-Fried on primetime, what would your first question to him be?
How tall are you?
Why
do you watch
shaking?
The Housewives?
Yeah. And for the record, I have never seen a full season of Southern Charm.
No one cares.
I have dabbled in it on a Saturday if there's nothing else on. But let's not get distracted.
Oh, okay.
So he looks like the press secretary. He looked like, to me, he was reading a statement, and he's shaking. Chuck Todd's not even close to him. So
it's
if
not
you're
Chuck
his
Todd.
Lawyer.
Chuck Todd.
Well, no,
Andrew
remember the
Ross
Chuck Todd
it.
Interview where he was like this the whole time? So if you're his lawyer, how are you allowing him to do this? And if this was a Republican donor, do you think he'd still be kicking back in the Bahamas doing live interviews after billions of dollars of people's cash went missing? In no sane world would anybody besides a mega donor for the Democrats would be able to get away with not being shackled at this point and hanging out at these events with Zelensky and Russell Brand or whatever celebrity was there. Wasn't he there?
I don't know.
Russell, I don't think Russell Brand.
Who was the guy that was in, he was Batman. They didn't like him as Batman. He's friends
Robert
with the guy
Pattinson?
From Boston. Remember, he was in the guy.
Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. Dana, so Sam Bankman-Fried.
That's how my brain works.
How did you get to Russell Brand?
This is over.
I didn't say Russell Brand, did
you
I?
You did. Yes. It's so insane. Okay, Dana. So
Russell Brand?
Sam Bankman-Fried says that he gave equal money to Republicans through dark money channels.
Didn't say equal.
And, well, I believe he did. Anyway.
No.
When the SEC gets to the bottom of this, do you think that everybody should give back their donations?
Well, I mean, I would love for the people who lost their money to be made whole.
Right.
That would be great. I don't know if that's going to be the case. I mean, I read today that Beto O'Rourke gave $1 million back to this guy. Are you going to give money back to that guy? I don't see how this.
Well,
I think
it was
before
it went under, right?
Well, no, it was a week after the election. So it was like, as it was like basically about to go under. So his lawyers say they told him, don't do this. He does the interview anyway. So now you got to think, well, one, he's dumb because you can't, that's a really stupid position to be in. And the judge, I'm sure, can talk about that. But also, think about all of these really rich people in Wall Street who gave this guy money.
Yeah.
And think about who you are investing with. I think that that is pretty bad. And also, I don't like it that he's like looking down on the ground, looking around for the answers, and then occasionally looking up like he's some sort of like.
Who would do that?
I don't know. Who would do that?
Do you think awkward on-camera behavior is indicative of guiltiness?
Absolutely. You know, I always say sometimes you can judge a book by its cover. And that's a pretty weird cover, if you ask me. Yeah. Remember, like, Avenatti, you looked at him?
Yep.
Slimy lawyer. Right? Mm-hmm. Jussie Smollett, he looked like a prevaricating trickster. Yep. It's like we couldn't say anything. We go, you could just read it, and he looks like a kind of a self-promoting weirdo who got caught. He got caught. He just looks, that's why he looks so suspicious. And to your point, which I hate saying, to your point about how do people get taken? This is why you have to teach your kids how weak and stupid virtue signaling it is, because people use virtue signaling to convince you that something bad is actually something good. So when somebody starts virtue signaling, you have to realize that there's no virtue in it. It's just a signal. And if you understand that, you would never be taken by a scammer. Almost all scams begin with a virtue signal. A lot of charities are corrupt, right? And people who compliment you, you know, overtly compliment you at bars, they'll buy you a drink. Next thing you know, you don't remember anything.
Yeah.
You got no clothes.
No wallet.
Yeah,
has
no wallet.
Has that happened to you last week?
Yeah, but I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah. He was a nice guy.
Okay. This guy belongs in jail now. I don't know if he's got a lawyer. If he does, he's not smart, and his lawyer's not smart. The only thing he's trying to do is take away the intent.
Yeah.
He's saying, I had no intent of doing this. But look,
you've got to explain to me how a guy who was worth $26.5 billion and is now worth next to nothing, you know, how do you gain that much money without being some kind of a fraudster? Yeah. And, you know, this stupid virtue signaling nonsense that got him access to people like, you know, Clintons and the rest of them who are money hungry is really nothing more than he's no better than a Madoff. He's worse than a Madoff. And the guy belongs in jail. And none of this is going to save him. It's going to be used against him. The shame of this thing is that it shows how stupid people are when they think they can make money in politics.
Mm. Okay, so coming up, are morning people smarter than night owls? A big debate on our routines coming up next.
Smarty pants scientists have proven what I'd already known to be true. God. I'm really smart. A new study from University of Ottawa confirms that people who wake up early are actually the smartest, debunking previous research giving the advantage to night owls. Greg, you're a night owl, right?
No, I'm what's called a morning owl.
Very rare.
Yes, I'm a combination morning person and night owl.
You stay up all night.
I stay up all night, so I never have to go to bed, and I'm up really early. It's amazing what I get done. I don't buy any of this stuff. Tyrus was talking about this the other day. He was like, you know, last week we were saying that daylight savings time was racist. Now we say morning people
so
are smart. So now that means, does that mean that if you're a morning person, then you're racist because you have more sunlight?
And smart.
And smart, yeah. There
Wait,
you go.
So like if we set the clocks back, we're setting minorities back?
Yes, exactly. It affects minorities hardest. Okay.
I liked this study because I have for my whole life had an inferiority complex about the fact that I like to go to bed early and I cannot hang at night.
You can't hang.
No, it's really tough. But one time I had to host, this is years ago, they asked me to guest host the 10 p.m. show. It was tough. It was really tough for me. I like to get up early.
I remember we told Dana, it was like, we have a dinner reservation at 6:30. She's like, no.
It's at 8:30.
8:30. Sorry.
Be honest.
Are you a morning or a night owl?
Night owl.
Night owl.
I'm really bad in the morning.
Proves the study right.
Oh, my gosh.
I knew it was coming. I could have lied, but I decided to be honest with the viewers.
But if you do read people that are very successful, they all say they wake up at 5, even 4:45.
Yeah.
When do you wake up?
I used to be an early bird, so I guess I was smarter when I was younger. That's the end of that.
I feel like I'm missing out on life because I don't stay up. Like, everyone does all these great things. I watch
at
all
night.
These shows.
What happens past to, like, 11 o'clock at night?
Oh, so many bad things. I don't know who was it. Chris Rock said that nothing good happens after 2 a.m. or something like that.
Yeah,
you know what? It's great getting up early because no one else is up.
It's quiet.
It's so
amazing
quiet.
Walking around the city.
Walking, doing anything. Even just driving in the suburbs.
Yeah.
You know, you
can take advantage of people.
Oh, taking people's mail, you know.
Newspapers.
Stealing their papers. You are a bandit. One more thing's up next.
Soon after the war and...
for one more thing, Judge.
Okay, some sad news. Fleetwood Mac singer Christine McVie passed away today at the age of 79. In a statement, her family said that she was with family and loved ones, surrounded by them after a short illness. Fleetwood Mac, Christine McVie, credited herself with writing some of the lyrics to songs like Dreams, The Chain, Don't Stop, Go Your Own Way. Mm-hmm. And for so many people, the Fleetwood Mac music represented, you know, a generation. And she officially joined in 71, and she was a superstar. Our thoughts are with her and with her family.
Okay, and now we are going to go to Greg.
Oh, man, we got a great show tonight. You want to hear about it?
Yeah, please.
All right. Well, you can't. And we have Jamie Lissau, Cat Timp, Tom Shalhoub, John Moody. Tonight, 11 p.m., I dare you to watch it.
Is that all you got?
That's all I got.
Okay, Jessica.
Okay, so this is new video from the National Christmas Tree Lighting Ceremony that
Three,
just took place.
Two, one, here we go! Yeah!
Yeah. Oh, and I can talk over it. It just took place on the White House ellipse in President Park. This is the 100th lighting ceremony, and it was hosted by LL Cool J with performances by Shania Twain and more.
Beautiful. Shania Twain, amazing. All right, Jesse.
LL Cool J still alive, Greg.
Yes, I know. I'm aware of that, unlike Christine McVie.
Who was the other person you said?
Tone Loc? I don't know.
Still alive?
Yes.
McDonald's is offering customers a chance to win the legendary, and I mean legendary, McGold card. You know what that does? You and three friends can have McDonald's for life.
Wow.
You get $1,000 on the card for 50 years, and they give you $22,000 to help offset the back taxes. Or that means it's legit. So
you
go.
You won't live that long.
No, didn't you see what was the McDonald's movie?
That, go right now, download a meal between December 5th and Christmas on the McDonald's app, and that will enter you for a chance to win. Primetime tonight, an investigation into the rise of psychiatric drugs in the United States.
Excuse me, why do you have a quarter pounder?
Yeah, why do you have a quarter pounder and we got
and the rest of us don't?
Because Johnny bought it.
Johnny!
Thank you, right. Johnny.
Oh. Just quickly, I want to show you a really rare behind-the-scenes look at Greg Gutfeld on his Peloton. Here he is on the Peloton. He likes to do the intervals and arms ride.
That is true.
And that's like a 30-minute ride, and you know, he's hit many personal records.
Uh-huh.
So congratulations to
Excellent.
You, Greg. Good work. All right, that's it for us. Special Report is up next. Hi, Trace.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.
Listen to The Five ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.